This week, we're going to look at biblical cancel culture, canceling the sins of false teaching. Now, there's a reason that we kept this for last. The reason is because if we don't have this one right, if our doctrine is not right, you're probably not going to be able to get the other ones right either. You even look, and we're not going to go there for the sake of time, but even in Ephesians chapter 5, just talking about sins of immoral nature, and being how that people come in and teach falsely, and then people will think that it's okay. I think we see that in churches today, don't we? We see that in churches today because there's false teaching so prevalent in our churches, so prevalent in America, and we cannot allow it in our church. We cannot allow it in our life. There is a standard, and that standard is the Word of God. And what the Word of God says is what needs to be taught and is what needs to be believed. And listen, if you have a belief, and you're sitting, you're under the preaching, in good preaching of God's Word, and that belief is challenged, you have to wonder, well, why didn't they believe the same thing I do? And it's not just, well, I'm just going to stick with, no, you look and you examine. You examine. We're going to look at the sins of false teaching. Now, the one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to go through every single false religion tonight and talk about how each one of those are wrong, because we'd be here all year. You think about it, and Evan reminded me of an illustration I gave once when he was in youth group. I was actually his youth director, if you didn't know, before he came here, before I came here. And I told the youth group that when a Secret Service agent gets tasked with determining what bills are good and what bills are counterfeit, the Secret Service doesn't just set every single counterfeit bill they've ever confiscated in front of him and tell you, study all of these to make sure you know what a real one it looks like or what a counterfeit one looks like. No, they give him a real one. If they want to be able to find a fake counterfeit $20 bill, they give him a real one and tell him to study that one until you know it like the back of your hand. I don't really know what that means, but everyone says it, so I'm going to say it now. But I don't really sit here and just like study the back of my hand. It's weird. But they study it and study it and study it until just even by a simple touch, they can tell whether or not a bill is counterfeit. We're not going to look at other beliefs tonight. We're going to look and see what the Bible says about false teaching. Listen, there is truth. In fact, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. And since there is a truth, that means there is a set truth. That means we can't all just go to Scripture and find our truth. I hate that saying these days. I live by my truth. No, that's your opinion. If you're saying that your truth, what you're really saying, I live by my opinion. We all don't have our own separate truths. There is the truth. And we know that when we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of a private interpretation. You can't look at one, Brother Brock can't look at one Scripture and say, this, I interpret it this way. And Brother Jenkinson look at another Scripture, look at the same Scripture and say, I interpret it this way. They both can't be right. Contradictory statements cannot be right. Cannot both be right. If I say the lights are on and Brother Brown says the lights are off, one of us is wrong because those are contradictory. But there's one interpretation. That's the correct interpretation. And you look throughout the Bible, and the Bible warns against false teaching a lot. In fact, Colossians 2:8 says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. We see in the Bible that they say that in vain, Matthew 15, verse 9, in vain did he worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Listen, there will be many false prophets, and they shall deceive many. We see that in Matthew 24:11. Listen, false teaching is something we need to be concerned about. Listen, I challenge you to read the New Testament. I challenge you to read through the epistles. You know what you'll find in most of the epistles? A fight against false doctrine. Listen, you look at the writings of Paul. Correct doctrine was very important to him. And there's a reason for that. But you see, we have to remember again, false doctrine is real. False teaching, we can't live in the light that, there's nothing there. No. See, the Bible has made a prediction. We can't live like an ostrich with our head in the sand and say that false teaching doesn't exist. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What Paul is saying here is there's going to be people who are going to come and they're going to try to deceive you. They're going to try to trick you. They're going to try to lead you astray. Paul's making a prediction here that false teachers were going to rise up. Let me just say, this was not a hard decision, a hard prediction. It's not a hard prediction. It really isn't. You look at the history of the world. False teaching, you know the first time we see it? Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, look right here. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of garden, of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. False. False. From almost the very beginning, we see false teaching has crept in to the world. We see it really throughout the Old Testament. We see in Ezekiel 13:3-4, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the deserts. The Bible saying there that the prophets of Ezekiel's days were like scavengers, who were seeking to gain off the misery of others. I think we can apply that today, can't we? Saying that false prophets are going to arise, it's almost just like saying that the Browns aren't going to win the Super Bowl. Okay? Because let's be honest, they're not. It's a pretty, pretty easy prediction because it's been happening since almost the very beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Can I get on a rabbit show just real quick? You know something that really, really just irks me? Is when someone is searching for a church and in every place they go, they're saying, what does your church have as programs? Because I want this and I want this and I want this and we want this for our family. Now listen, I understand that to a certain extent. I do. But at the same time, what if it's God's will for you to go to a small church that needs you and where God wants you there, that doesn't have a youth group, that doesn't have a junior church, that doesn't, maybe they don't even have a nursery, but God wants you there because he wants you to help maybe even start some of those things. We need to make sure we're led by the Lord instead of led by programs sometimes, but that's neither here nor there. Just a side note. Listen, false teaching doesn't just go away. See, over time, the false teaching, it just piles up more and more and more. It doesn't shrink, it only grows. You look at the Bible, you know the Bible doesn't talk about Mormonism? You know the Bible doesn't talk about Jehovah's Witnesses? Or the word to faith movement? Or the many myriads of false beliefs we see around the world today? Don't know why? Because they weren't around in the biblical times. But false beliefs that were around then, there's a whole lot of them that are still around now. Though some of them may be called by another name. See, there's a prediction. And we can't live with our head in the clouds or our head in the ground and think that we can just go about our merry way and not fight and protect ourselves against false teaching. Because listen, there's a pitfall. There's a pitfall. You say, why do you use the word pitfall for number two? Pitfall. Well, pitfall is a hidden or unsuspecting danger. I like that definition. To be honest, it fits the dangers of false teaching. So the dangers of false teaching are often hidden and unsuspecting. Because again, you look at Ephesians 4:14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, false teaching, it dangles a lure in front of you. It tries to get you off path without you even realizing it. Again, go back to Genesis chapter 3. We look at this in verse number 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now let me ask you a question. Did he say anything false there? He just asked the question, right? Just ask the question. It's not wrong to ask questions. You see, there's a purpose. He was beguiling. He was deceiving Eve. And that's what false teachers do. See, false teaching, I hate to tell you, doesn't come with a flashing neon sign. The false teacher walks into the church and just has false teacher written across his forehead. That doesn't happen. You wish it did, right? But it doesn't happen. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30 says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Listen, they don't care about you. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Listen, false teachers, you know, they don't look like villains. They don't look like the bad guy. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Listen, some of them look pretty good. They look sharp. Can I be honest? Some of the false teachers look better than the good teachers. We've got to be careful. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verses 13 through 15 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There it is, no great thing, if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Church, we got to be careful. We've got to be on guard. We have to be watching and praying at all times. We cannot ignore this. I remember the first time, and I've shared this before, I remember the first time I saw a certain preacher. His name is, and I've mentioned his name before, and I'll mention it again because he's an absolute heretic. But his name's Stephen Furtick. And I remember there was one time just a couple years ago that one of my friends on Facebook just shared one of his videos. And I listened, it was one of my friends, and I listened to his video because one of my friends shared it. And I listened to it and I thought, this is what he said, what he's saying is good. And I thought even myself, this guy actually looks cool too. To be honest, he looked better than me. That's not hard. That's not hard at all. But I thought, praise the Lord, there's someone, maybe God will use this person. And I didn't really think much about it, but then a little bit later, I saw, a couple weeks later, I saw another video from someone else posting. And I found another video from someone else posting, and I watched them, and I got, after watching about three or four, I had a red flag just go up. Listen, it wasn't because he said anything wrong. Every video that I watched, everything he said was not biblically wrong, but it was what I wasn't hearing. I hadn't heard the gospel in any video that I'd watched yet. I hadn't heard any mention of sin. Now, he had talked about mistakes, but no mentions of sin. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do my research. So I looked him up. You know, I didn't find in anything that he put out anywhere the gospel. You know what else I didn't find? Sin. I realized there he was a false teacher. And then, you know what really, really just scared me? When I found a video of him proclaiming that God broke his law to save us. No. No. God did not break his own law to save us. Listen, the danger of that. If God broke his law to save us, none of us are saved. Listen, this is scary. Because he is leading people to hell. Listen, it destroys the listener. False teaching destroys the listener. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, number 1 says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Whew. False teaching destroys the people who hear it. It leads people to hell. Listen, can I just say this? When you look at the danger and the warnings about false teaching that you see in Scripture, can I just tell you the one aspect of the Bible that is warned about more often than others? The gospel. The gospel. Paul, when talking about false teaching, is talking about watching against false teaching when it comes to salvation. Watching about false teaching when it comes to the gospel. Listen, we got to be really careful about it. Can I just say, we should examine ourselves at all times whether or not the way we even present the gospel is 100% biblical. Okay? I will never forget, about 7 or 8 years ago, I was in a church, and I listened to a preacher friend of mine share the gospel, and he shared it in such a way that didn't settle well with me. And I went to him after the service, and I asked him, why, in sharing the gospel during the service, you did this. Why? And he thought about it for a second. And he said, you know, it's just what I was taught. If in the way you share the gospel, You can't point back to a line and verse in the Bible as to where you get how you share the gospel and what you do. Stop. Listen, if you share the gospel with someone and what you share is not correct, the danger is you're giving them a false hope, a false profession of faith. Listen, this is very serious. When we share the gospel, we need to make sure they understand what we're talking about. We can't just share the gospel and be the only one speaking and get to the end and say, do you want to pray now? Can I just say this? I've seen it happen so many times where someone shares the gospel and all they do, the person sharing the gospel is the only one talking. And they get to the end of sharing the gospel and they say, do you want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, pray this prayer. You didn't even let the person speak. How do you even know they understood? Let me ask you this by raising hand. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? I've met two people in my entire lifetime who told me they didn't want to go to heaven. Just two. I've witnessed to a lot. I've met two people who didn't want to go to heaven. When did heaven become the goal? Find in the Bible where heaven's the goal. If not, Christ is. Christ is the goal. A relationship with Christ is the goal. Seeing them turn from their sin and repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again for them to pay their sin. Seeing them turn from their sin to the Lord Jesus Christ is the goal. Examine yourself. Examine what you say. Just make sure that every single bit of what you say and how you share the gospel is from the Bible. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Ask someone to help you. Because false teaching destroys the listener. Listen, you think about this thing too. I know many people who have been pastors and who have been church staff who, because of the way their church presented the gospel, as they were pastors, they realized they were not actually saved because of false teaching. We need to be careful with that. So we see the prediction. Listen, there's going to be false teachers. We see the pitfall. Listen, it destroys people. It leads people. False teaching leads people to hell. But there is a procedure. There is a procedure that we can take to make sure that as a church, we do not allow false teaching. Listen, the purity of the church is of the utmost importance. What is taught, what is believed, must be correct. It must be correct. There are certain things that we can do to help with that. The first thing, again, how many of you have a Bible degree? Okay? There's a couple. Okay? Most people in churches don't have Bible degrees. And I would assume that most people in churches struggle really to dig deep into their Bible. Would I be correct in that? Now, most Christians that I talk to who say they struggle digging deep in their Bible, it's not for lack of desire. They just don't know how. Can I give you one thing that, in order to make sure that you don't allow false teaching in your life, confide in your pastor. Talk to your pastor. You find someone. Listen. This is a great church. I love this church, and I love our pastor. Amen. Listen, I've been in a lot of churches where there's, you know, in listening to the pastor, there's just some things that, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. Not big things, but smaller things. But Can I say this? Pastor Holmes is one of the only people that I've ever heard preach where I've never had a single time when I look at Scripture, listen to what he says and look at Scripture and say, I don't know if I agree with that. Every single time I've heard him preach, I listen to him preach, I look at the Scripture and say, I agree with that. Listen, that's not everywhere. That's something we should be very, very thankful for. And can I just tell you, God has given him to you as your pastor to help you. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and some, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the purpose of perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, God has placed Pastor Holmes. Can I just say this? He's not perfect. And we'll get to that. Not just that pastor's not perfect, but that pastors aren't perfect, okay? But God has placed him here for the perfecting of the saints. To help every one of you be a complete Christian. An edified Christian. A serving Christian. He has been tasked. Listen, pastors are tasked with holding fast the faithful word. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince gainsayers. Listen, it's not a small thing to be a pastor. There's a big charge there from Scripture. See the charge given in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 1. It says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Here's what Paul's saying to Timothy there. Pastor, you need to make sure that no matter what happens, that you preach what's right. That you preach the whole counsel of God. That you don't shy away from a part of the Bible simply because it's not popular. Because, you know, that's sometimes, you see in churches, that's the temptation sometimes. To shy away because, you know, this part of the Bible, just, I don't know if I want to hit that right now with everything going on. I'm going to stay away because I don't want 50% of my church to leave. And the Bible says, preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Even if it means people leave. Because people are. Listen, I've seen people leave church because they didn't agree with what the Bible said. Listen, can we say, if people leave Harvest because they don't agree with what the Bible said, listen, I'm sorry. I hope God changes their mind. But we're not going to change. We're not going to change. We're going to preach what the Bible says. Hebrews 13:17. So obey them that have rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Can we praise the Lord for a pastor who loves his church, who cares for his church? I praise the Lord for that. But leaders, pastors, teachers, they're going to have to answer to God. They watch for your souls as they must give account. They're going to have to answer to God for what they teach. They're going to have to answer to God for what they preach. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. In other words, listen, God put a man in this pulpit at this church. Listen to the vision and the preaching and the words that God has him speak. Listen to him. Listen to him. Don't just like, ah. The Bible says that if we don't listen to our pastor when he speaks the truth and preaches the word of God, that's not unprofitable for him. It's unprofitable for you. But we need to confide in our pastor. Can I just say this? You come to this church, you really are going to get sound doctrine. For a lot of different people too. Praise the Lord for all the preachers we have here. Amen. We're going to get sound doctrine. But here's, you know what the danger is though? You can leave these doors and turn on a different radio station, not ours. And from the moment you leave here, you can start filling your head with false doctrine. You can go to YouTube, you go to Facebook. False doctrine is readily available at all times. Listen. Confide in your pastor. We have a great radio station here. If you want to turn a radio station, listen, we got great biblical preaching, great songs. Listen, maybe listen to our radio station. We've got sermon videos online that you can listen to. Listen, avoiding false teaching is extremely, extremely important. Listen, again, just if you find someone online like, wow, this person sounds really good. I might step on some toes, but there's a lot of people that I see every once in a while sharing videos from Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen and all these other people. Like, wow, look at what they're saying is great. Yeah, in that video. But they're of the same doctrine of the person I talked about earlier. They preach at each other's churches. They're false teachers. If you find someone online or hear someone, don't just continue listening and continue listening, continue listening, continue listening. No, you find someone and you maybe confide in your pastor. Like, Pastor, I heard this person preaching. Do you know anything about them? I want to make sure that what I listen to and what I allow in my head is right. Listen, can I say, praise the Lord? We've had people in our church come to me and ask me about people. I don't know why they come to me and not pastor, but they did, you know. And you know what I was able to do? I was telling them, no, stay away. Stay away from them. But at the same time, we can't just confide in our pastor. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But listen, verse number 8. But though we, speaking of himself and the group that he was with, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, any other doctrine unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know what? You know what Paul is telling the church of Galatia? Don't trust me. What? This is Paul. Don't trust Paul. No, trust the Bible. Trust God's word. one of the good first steps is go to your pastor, confide in your pastor. But listen, we need to compare it to Scripture. We need to compare what we learn with Scripture, what we hear with Scripture. It's with the teaching of Scripture, with the correct and biblical teaching of Scripture that we see Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Listen, can I just say this? If I would have seen the video of the one gentleman when I was a teenager, can I just say, the red flag probably wouldn't have gone up nearly as fast, if not at all. But God in His mercy has allowed me to get to a point where I know at least something. And God allowed the red flag to go up. And He allowed me discernment through study of His Word. And listen, that place where you can have that discernment yourself, that's not just for church staff. That is the goal. That should be the goal for the entire church. Listen, can I just say this? That's our goal for you. As a church staff, that's our goal for you. That each and every one of you come to a point where you can discern between correct and false teaching. But you have to want it. You have to work at it. Listen, can I just say this? We need to be like the Bereans. The Bible says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know who they were listening to? Paul. They were listening to Paul. He wrote a whole lot of the New Testament. And they were still searching what he said to make sure that what he said was right. Listen, if they're going to research what Paul said, we better be researching what Pastor Holmes said. Not because we think he's wrong, but we want to make sure he's right. And can I just say this? That when you do so, you know what you also do? You learn it for yourself. You learn it. And that's the real purpose. That's the real purpose of going in, taking what he said, looking at the Scriptures, seeing how it lines up, and comparing it. We need to prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We need to prove all things, and we need to hold fast to that which is good. Listen. Praise the Lord, we have a good church. Take what you hear here. Learn it. Meditate on it. Compare it. Prove it. Don't just soak it all in without any thought about it. Can I just say, we have a lot of people in our church who do that. I've had many times when after a sermon, a couple weeks later, I have people come up and he's like, hey, you know that message you preached to me? You preached, a couple weeks ago. You said this, and I was wondering where you got that. I want to see it. And so I would just show them and show them. Can we praise the Lord for that? Listen, every one of us should be that. Every one of us. We need to make sure that we protect ourselves against false teaching. One of the last things, we're almost done, is that if we find someone who's a false teacher, there's a command to separate. There's a command to separate. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Verse number 10, it says, "A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." So in other words, so you hear someone who's teaching something that's false, you go to them, you show them the truth, they don't take it, you show it to them again, they don't take it, you say, "You've got to go. You've got to go." Because we can't allow false teaching. Again, the purity of the church is paramount. The purity of the church is of absolute importance. We cannot allow false teaching. It destroys people. Can I give you some good news, though? If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, by salvation, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, false teaching cannot cause you to lose your salvation. Okay? We can praise the Lord for that. But if you allow false teaching in your life, you might hinder someone else. We need to prove it. We need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word study there, it means to be diligent, to diligently just dive into Scripture, to work through it. And to rightly interpret it. And we need to do that as a church. For the purpose that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Listen, we can't just sit back and relax thinking that they're not going to come here to harvest. We can't. Because it's when we sit back and relax, that's when they will come. We need to be on guard. We need to cancel the sin of false teaching.